Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
This is Squawk Pod. I'm CNBC producer Katie Kramer. Today on our podcast, Boom Goes the Consumer. Retailers report a big quarter fueled by pent-up demand after a year online shopping. Walmart is already taking on Amazon Prime. So what's next?
No content yet. No programming yet.
Who knows down the road what they're going to be doing, but no content at this point.
No content yet.
Getting to work, post-COVID employment with Ohio Senator Rob Portman.
The COVID issue is, thank God, finally getting behind us. And this is an opportunity for us to get back to school, back to work, you know, back to a more normal life.
And conservatives are pushing back. CNBC's Eamon Javers on woke capitalism and why one group is campaigning against it.
If you're going to engage in politics, you might start to see people treating you like a political figure, which we haven't normally seen with CEOs in this country.
It's Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. Squawk Pod begins right now.
Good morning and welcome back to Squawk Box right here on CNBC. I'm Andrew Ross Sorkin along with Becky Quick and Joe Kernan. Take a look at U.S. futures.
Today on the podcast, 1 year of pandemic consumers. Public health restrictions and social distancing sent shoppers from the malls and the aisles to click, click, and purchase online. The last 14 months have been a boon for the big box retailers, which were categorized as essential last spring, so able to stay open for the day-to-day needs of Americans staying at home, as well as offer supplies and an outlet for projects, do-it-yourself, furnishing, and home upgrades. Home Depot reported financial performance for the first quarter of the year today and was a huge win, earning $3.86 per share. There were 447 million plus customer transactions, up almost 20% from last year's first quarter, and people are spending more when they shop at Home Depot. The average ticket is about $82. That's a 10% increase. Walmart as well surged way past expectations. Total revenue grew by nearly 3% to $138 billion in the quarter. The nation's biggest brick-and-mortar retailer also has an eye on pent-up demand, fueled by consumers ready to get out. Here's CNBC's retail reporter, Courtney Reagan.
You know, I spoke to Walmart CFO Brett Biggs, who said, quote, stimulus helped in Q1. And because of that, we increased profit and revenue guidance. He added, what we are seeing right now in Q2 is part of the reasoning as well. And Biggs also said, I think overall the consumer is in good shape. There's a lot of money out in the system. We are seeing spending rates healthy, savings rates also near all-time highs. So we still believe that there is pent-up demand. What kind of pent-up demand for items? Well, Big says, Becky, for items like bicycles, printers, and you can tell people are starting to get back out buying things like teeth whitener. Back over to you.
Coming out from behind the masks, probably lipsticks are up on that
exactly,
too.
Exactly. Yep.
I know one of the things that Wall Street's been waiting to hear about is Walmart Plus. Any indication in the release on this, or is this just something you got to wait for the call to hear more about?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to wait for the call and see if they're going to give us any indication about Walmart Plus. I have a feeling they're going to say it's early days, but we're encouraged. It's just my gut feeling. It's sort of, you know, the way that things have been going for Walmart lately when they announce new programs. It's sort of the way they take it in the early going without giving us a lot of specifics.
Court, thanks.
Walmart Plus, that's their streaming service? What is how are they doing?
No. It's their equivalent of Amazon Prime. You know, you
I'm
get
kidding.
Some special
yeah, yeah.
additional things. You get things like
why would Amazon have a streaming service? Why would Amazon or Walmart? It's also confusing. Maybe Walmart will.
Well, they are moving. I mean, you know about the TikTok tie-up for Walmart, the thing that they've been interested in doing. Things right. are definitely moving in different directions. And this
crazy.
Is kind of their answer to Amazon Prime, a way to really get more information about their customers.
No content
And they
yet.
Do that
no
by offering things
yet.
Like coupons, discounts yeah. at gas at Walmart stores. Yeah, and who knows down the road what they're going to be doing. But no content at this point. But it is their way to kind of learn much more about their customers. And the expectation is they probably have somewhere between 8 and 9 million customers at this point that have signed up. Maybe we'll hear more about that. Maybe we won't. But Amazon Prime, remember, launched all the way back in 2005. And I think they have something like 200 million people who are using Amazon Prime. So a lot of ground to try and make up. But again, it's their way to really get to know their customer and have much more information about them.
My cable bundle is now a streaming bundle. Why don't we should start a company where we put out the, no, I guess we can't, but now isn't it it's like the same thing. Now I got a streaming bundle. I have too many of those.
Well, the thing is, now you have a streaming bundle and a cable bundle.
A streaming bundle and a cable.
Because you're paying for both. A lot of money. That's the
there's times where I still can't. It's like, Jesus, there's nothing on. I'm watching the John Wayne Gacy thing, you know.
That creepy clown promo dragged you in?
There's two of them because they have interviews with him. There's two of them, actually. They're on competing. Yeah, I love true crime. I've mentioned that before. Love true crime. Sorkin, have you seen this mayor stuff? Have you seen Mayor of Easttown yet?
Watched the first four episodes.
Do you see the most recent one?
I think the fifth was just on Sunday night, and I have not seen that yet because it's past my bedtime, as you know.
Amazing.
But actually, I was up on Sunday night dealing with this Discovery.
Don't read anything about it. Don't read anything about it and watch that. I saw it yesterday, and I'm just don't read anything about it. Watch it.
We will do
it. Get back to me.
I'll give you a call after I finish watching.
California's state coffers are overflowing. There's a growing debate over how to spend that surplus. Robert Frank joins us now with more. It's burning a hole in their pockets, I guess, Robert.
Yeah, it's amazing, Joe. Just a year ago, California was projecting a budget deficit of more than $50 billion. That was the worst since the financial crisis. Instead, now they have a budget surplus of $76 billion. That is more than the entire state budgets of Pennsylvania or Massachusetts. The reason? IPOs, soaring tech stocks, and massive stock sales by founders and venture capital firms. The top 1% of California earners pay nearly half of its income taxes, and a lot of their income comes from capital gains. About a quarter of the more than 400 companies that listed shares last year were from California, with tens of billions of dollars flowing into California coffers. The state will also get about $25 billion from the federal stimulus. That's in addition to the $76, bringing the total to over $100 billion. So, Joe, as you mentioned, what to do with all this extra cash? Well, Governor Gavin Newsom plans to send checks of up to $1,100 to all Californians who make less than $75,000 a year. It's unclear how long all this windfall will last. California's population declined by 182,000 people last year. That was the first population loss in recorded history. Joe?
So, wait, I'm just trying to sort all this out. So you're saying that a successful private sector has generated tax revenue for the state. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. That is what
I'm
saying.
I'm trying to get my arms around it.
And far beyond what anyone expected.
Here's my question. That's a lot of money. Are these outsized taxes going to cause some of the people, the proverbial gooses that are laying golden eggs, is it going to cause some of these guys to exit? We've already seen some move to Texas.
Yeah, look, I mean, as I mentioned at the end, last year was the first time in recorded history that California had a population decline. We don't know exactly how many of those were high earners. It appears for right now, given this tax windfall, that not enough of the wealthy have left, if in fact they have, to damage the tax base. And, you know, again, these are capital gains from 2020. Maybe they will declare their tax residency somewhere else for 2021, and we will see that this year and beyond. But for right now, the wealthy taxpayers are holding up California and what they're calling these golden state stimmies. So we have a whole second set of stimulus checks that are going to go out to Californians. Again, anyone making less than $75,000 a year will get up to $1,100 in a golden state stimmy. So right now they're in a good place.
Robert, you would even say it's not just the private sector that I'm talking about. These are kind of Wall Street tinged items that you, what you mentioned, IPOs and stock sales. And so this surplus is coming from Wall Street, horrible, those greedy, self-centered people on Wall Street are generating some of this.
Well, here's what's amazing. And people have been talking about the decline of California. We've heard a lot of prominent executives talk about that. But 25% of all the companies that raised capital in the markets last year, that's from IPOs to SPACs to everything, 25% were in California. That is not counting the venture capital firms that were invested in all the other companies that were not based in California, but that had venture capital. And that's a huge share. So, you know, that California wealth machine, which is both tech and venture capital, just had huge gains in the market last year, thanks in part to the Fed and thanks to the recovery and vaccines and everything else. But that California wealth machine is still very much intact, but very reliant on the most volatile form of taxes, which is capital gains.
Hey, Robert, not to mention that they're doing this and handing out checks to everybody because they're so wealthy right now. At the same time, they're getting $25 billion in federal stimulus.
Yeah, I mean, that's what was amazing to me. They've got 76 just from a tax surplus. And then in addition to that, they have 26. So Gavin Newsom, who, of course, is in the middle of a recall vote, you could not ask for a better political layup right now than the ability to basically write a budget that has $100 billion extra in funds. He's funding education. He's funding rent. He's funding utility bills for people. I mean, you can basically fund every dream of that state government that they want to fund. Now, the question, of course, especially if we get an increase in the federal capital gains rate, which could dry up capital gains realizations and sales, that could hurt revenue for the next fiscal year. And then you've budgeted based on this huge revenue that you don't no longer have.
Just for discussion,
right.
Robert.
Nothing like saving for a rainy day.
Right. Just for discussion, just to get it out there, can you send a memo to Bernie, Liz, maybe AOC, and just highlight, just say, look, just factor this into your thinking next time. Next time you're, you know, demagoguing and pontificating and virtue signaling and everything else. Could you want me to do it? Or do you,
you
want
to? Joe, I'm sure
will you do
all
it?
Of them, I'm sure all three of them are watching right now because they love CNBC. I'm sure they're all watching. So they heard. They
right.
know.
They're maybe they're trading crypto or something as they're watching, flipping houses.
Exactly.
Like some of them have done in the past. Okay, Robert, minus 50 to plus 75. That's deep. That is deep. I'm talking billions.
Yep.
That's a turn. I was surprised to hear the story when I was introing it because I thought that that they had blown all the money. Thanks, Robert.
Next on Squawk Pod, we're getting back to work, or are we? Jobs, hiring, and post-COVID pay with Ohio Senator Rob Portman.
Roughly 42% of people are making more on average on unemployment insurance than they were at their jobs.
The senator joins us from the steps of the Capitol in Washington, where the 2021 cicada emergence has begun.
First cicada, guys.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
You're listening to Squawk Pod.
Good morning and welcome back to Squawk Box here on CNBC. It's Tuesday. I'm Joe Kernan along with Becky Cooper and Andrew Ross. We're making progress on today's show, but we've got a big lot left. We reported yesterday the findings of a new CNBC Morning Consult survey of 1,000 unemployed workers. It found that almost 90% said that they have not been offered a job within the last 6 months, although most are actively looking, and of those who rejected an offer, almost two-thirds said that unemployment benefits were not a reason at all. At the same time, many business owners say they can't find workers, leading to concerns on Capitol Hill over supplemental aid. We're joined now by Senator Rob Portman. Senator, in the same finding, it also said that I think 37% said they didn't want to take a job because it wasn't paying enough. We didn't tie that to the benefits for some reason. That immediately said to me, even though a lot of employers are offering higher wages to try to induce people to come back, there's still 37% saying that it's not high enough for me to come back, which just confirms what I guess we were trying to say wasn't being confirmed. That's the way I read it. I mean, if 37% say it's not enough money and we're up in the $15 to $20 range, higher than it's been, then people can stay at home and make more money at home.
Well, Joe, that's apparently what's happening. I mean, there are 8.1 million jobs open right now, which is historic. We've never had that many jobs open in the United States of America. And we do have a situation where a lot of people who are on unemployment insurance can make more there than they can at work. Roughly 42% of people are making more on average on unemployment insurance than they were at their jobs. And that doesn't include the tax break that the Democrats put in this COVID bill, which is that the first $10,000 is tax-free. So if you're a truck driver making $35,000 a year and you're working hard, you don't get that tax break. But if you're on unemployment insurance, you do. So that seems kind of unfair. So, it's obvious. I mean, if you're out in the real world, there are help wanted signs everywhere. People are paying big bonuses. Driving into the airport yesterday morning, I go by Frisch's Big Boy. They're offering $250. McDonald's is offering a $500 signing bonus. A buddy of mine who's a manufacturer, she's offering 1,000. She can't get anybody. She's got 60 positions open in Ohio. By the way, 30 positions open in New York. And she's going to fill those ones in Ohio first if Ohio gets rid of the $300 additional federal supplement, because she could hire people in Ohio. So it's going to be a competitive advantage for those states that are stepping forward. And by the way, about 15 states have already stepped forward and said, you know, we're going to have to end this $300 additional federal supplement, which, as you know, is extraordinary. We haven't done that before. We did it in the last Great Recession, but we did it to the tune of about $25 a week, not
right.
$600 and $300 a week. So,
Senator,
it's important to get people back to work.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't want to blame that government program for why people are staying home, you can at least blame not having the schools reopening quick enough, because that is a problem, because people don't have
a
way
problem.
To go.
Yeah,
that's a problem. But that's also government.
That is one of the issues,
up, probably to some extent.
Well, there are people who are saying, I'm sure in the survey, and by the way, this tilts toward women more. And you look at the numbers in terms of women who are out of the workplace first versus men. It's a higher proportion. And they will say, you know, I can't afford childcare, and that's an issue. And a lot of that's driven by the fact that their kids are not in school. Only 54% of schools, K-12, have been open full time. So this is an issue, too. And that will be resolved, I hope, very soon, because, you know, the COVID issue is, thank God, finally getting behind us. And this is an opportunity for us to get back to school, back to work, you know, back to a more normal life.
Yeah. And then just safety concerns. Obviously, when you're coming out of a pandemic like that, that's going to cause some people maybe not to want to go back and or go back to a physical place to work, I guess. So that's all part of it. Do you think?
Well, there's some of that too. But this $300 continues until Labor Day, and it continues into September. And you know, look, the economy is red hot. The jobs are out there. Obviously, people are desperate for workers. And there are companies in Ohio that are actually shutting down, and those jobs are being lost because they don't have any workers. So it's in the real world, this is a big problem.
Right. You were always a very measured Republican and conservative. Do you have any answers or advice for the GOP in terms of the schism? And I'm not saying there's no schisms on the left either. Obviously, with some of the things proposed by the far left, just watching it play out this week has been mind-boggling, or in the last week has been mind-boggling. But the Republicans don't seem to know who they are right now, whether they're deplorables, whether they're classic conservatives. Is it a big tent? You need everybody?
Yeah, it's got to be a big tent. You know, politics is about addition, not subtraction, and it's about adding more people. But, Joe, I think the Republican Party actually, you know, is doing pretty well right now because of President Biden and the progressive Democrats who are taking the country to the left, and that lurch to the left is not where most people are. And you look at the incredibly high spending rates and the incredibly high taxes that are being proposed, and you look at some of the issues that they're talking about, like statehood for Puerto Rico and D.C. and packing the Supreme Court. I mean, you know, these are issues that folks don't support. So it gives the Republican Party the ability to kind of reframe our policy agenda, which is ultimately what makes a party strong. So our ideals and our policies is what ought to lead.
Senator, thank you. Appreciate it. Good to see you. And Frisch's. I haven't
heard
Frisch's.
We got the the raging inflation. We've got the UFOs, and now we've got the cicadas. This is my first cicada.
Oh my God.
This morning on the Capitol grounds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Senator.
I'm going to let him go.
Thank you.
Coming up on Squawk Pod, a conservative nonprofit is launching a seven-figure campaign today, pushing back against woke capitalism and some CEOs.
That's going for the jugular, pointing out some of the hypocrisy.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track. We care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
This is Squawk Pod. Here's Joe Kernan.
A conservative nonprofit is pushing back against chief executives, launching an ad campaign to fight what it calls woke capitalism. That ship, I think, might have sailed. Eamon Jevers joins us now with the CNBC exclusive. The horse is out of the barn. Toothpaste is out of the tube. Can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, Eamon. This is here to stay. I see it every day, everywhere.
Yeah, Joe, well, look, this group in particular says that they want to force companies to reconsider some of the political stances they've taken over the past year. And what they're doing is launching what they say is a seven-figure ad campaign, launching it today. This is going to be just north of $1 million in spending overall. They're going to be sharply critical of the CEOs of American Airlines, Coca-Cola, and Nike. The whole campaign is designed to force companies to reconsider some of these political stances that they've taken. The ads are going to run on CNBC, Fox Business, and local stations in the cities where these companies are headquartered. The nonprofit group behind it all is Consumers Research. They say they're not going to disclose the financing of this program, so we don't know who's spending all this money. These feel very much like political campaign ads. They're going to criticize American Airlines CEO Doug Parker for high pay at a time of layoffs and taxpayer bailouts. They're going to target Coca-Cola CEO James Quincy over obesity in America. They're going to criticize Nike CEO John Donahoe over allegations of forced labor in China. Yesterday, I talked to the leader of this group, and I asked him what message he's trying to get across here. Here's what he had to say.
Increasingly, they're taking positions on legislation that has nothing to do with their business. And this is at the same time that the quality of their products and services is going down. They've taken their eye off the ball.
Now, the flashpoint here is these voting rights laws in Texas and in Georgia in particular. American Airlines had this to say about their position. They said, as a Texas-based business, we must stand up for the rights of our team members and customers who call Texas home and honor the sacrifices made by generations of Americans to protect and expand the right to vote. So a real flashpoint issue here, Joe. This group trying to turn the debate around a little bit, or at least give some of these CEOs something else to think about in terms of pushback from the right, as opposed to the criticism that might get from the left for not acting here. So the CEOs very much caught in the middle, Joe.
Those are some sticky points. Obesity and Coke. I can think of some others. A lot of the companies that do a lot of business in China is another. And so that's going for the jugular with some of these. Pointing out some of the hypocrisy. And we all know we're all part of the same hypocrisy, right, Senator? Godfather too, Eamon, but never think it applies to my family.
I just
family.
Rewatched that the other day. It holds up.
Oh, doesn't it?
Look, I mean,
Pacino.
The idea here, it really does. Look, the idea here is that you're going after these companies on sort of unrelated issues, right? You talk about obesity in children and that sort of thing. I mean, that's not really related to the flashpoint voter rights issue here. But when you think about it, this is sort of a welcome to the NFL kind of a moment. You know, if you're going to engage in politics, you might start to see people treating you like a political figure, which we haven't normally seen with CEOs in this country. And you're going to get these sort of negative Oppo-style ads running against you. Yeah. And then, of course, making the point that, you know, you're willing to talk about politics here in the United States, but how come you're not willing to talk about political abuses
in
China?
You got that guy's phone number, Raymond?
And suspiciously quiet around that.
You got that guy's phone number, his email?
Yes.
Do you? Yeah. Do you
That's
have his
part of the job.
Let's have him on. We're going to put him on. Is that all right with
sure.
you? Or
yeah,
you don't
absolutely.
Mind? Okay. We may do that.
I'll text you both right after the segment.
Yep. Okay. Eamon, who's financing what he's doing?
Yeah, that's what we don't know. The group is a nonprofit, and they say they respect donor privacy, and so they're not going to say who's paying for all this. So that's a big unknown in all this.
It's an anonymous effort.
But we don't know where that money's coming from. That's right.
It's an anonymous political effort. Fascinating. Okay. Yeah.
Is it?
That's right.
But do we know it's not Satan, Eamon? I think that's the question Andrew's asking. Is it not Satan, or do we don't know? We don't know how to get in touch with him. We conjure it up, maybe.
I'll let you report out that angle, Joe.
All right. Thank you, Eamon Jones. Andrew.
Joe, I think we should have him on if he'll disclose who's paying him.
If he won't disclose
who's paying him, then I think we probably shouldn't have him on.
But does it really matter which conservative organization it is, Andrew? They're all bad. I mean, does it really matter which one it is?
No, but I think it's important that I think it's important to know who's financing this stuff.
We're always
got to follow the money. That's what we're about here.
The rush to the bottom. It's just bad, less bad, and very bad for those types.
And that's Squawk Pod for today. Thanks for listening. Squawk Box is hosted by Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin. Tune in weekday mornings on CNBC at 6 Eastern. You can get us every day right in your feed when you subscribe to Squawk Pod. And if you like what you hear, please leave a rating or write a review on Apple Podcasts. Share this podcast with a friend. It all helps. And we'll meet you back here tomorrow.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.